we are pleased to have with us the new baseball coach at the University of Notre Dame, Link Jarrett, Florida State infielder from 91 to 94, an assistant coach with Flagler, Florida State, Mercer, East Carolina, and Auburn, and from 2013 to 2019, the head coach at UNC Greensboro, where he was the Southern Conference Coach of the Year in 16 and 18, conference tournament champions in 17, and regular season champions in 18. And we are pleased to have Link joining us here on WSBT Radio. Link, it's Darren Pritchard. A pleasure to have the chance to talk to you. How are you this evening?
Doing great, Darren. Actually just wrapped up a three-day camp, so it was enjoyable to get out there and have really my first time in South Bend out on the field with some high school kids. Happy to be here. Good first 3 days. It was exciting. Obviously a great moment for myself, and you know, we want to get this program moving in the right direction, and it was a good start this week.
Great to hear you jumping right in. Great to have you here in South Bend. Let me start with what you believe the potential of this Notre Dame program.
Well, Darren, the sky's the limit for this. I know we have work to do. I can look at statistically what we've done, and I recognize there's obviously room to push things along. In this conference, when you can compete to move this thing up into the middle, you're obviously competing to get in an at-large bid into the tournament. If you can pull that off, then obviously with an ACC schedule, you're more than prepared to win a regional. So you have to position yourself to get into the NCAA tournament, and that's really my first goal here. If you can move into the upper third of this conference, then you're talking about having an opportunity to host a regional, which makes it easier to win. If you get through a regional, the super regional is nothing more than a good ACC weekend series that you have to win, and that's how you work your way to Omaha. And I know that it's not easy, but it's a realistic hope. I'm not saying we're there yet, but the expectations and the reality is you could pull this off, and I know we have a long way to go. So you have to take one thing at a time. Number one is to figure out what this team needs with fall workouts and the fall calendar, and that's about as far as I can look in terms of what I need to focus on right now.
Link, this is Sean Stiers. Welcome as well to South Bend, and I'll say right off the top, you're definitely going to have one of the most distinct voices, if not in South Bend, then on campus anyway. So
really? Okay. I did a little TV in my day.
All right.
But I have a face made for radio, but yeah, I did some TV. That's what they told me.
All right. Well, I'll kind of piggyback off what you were just talking about, because one of the things that you did say when you came in is that you wanted to build the program into a contender. So when you look at sort of the Link Jarrett philosophy, what are some of the things that you need to do to build your foundation to get you there?
Well, players have a lot of goals and aspirations, and you have to transition to a point where this culture is about our team and our program no matter what. And I don't know where they are right now, but your culture and understanding that the program success is the most important thing, and being a part of something great, it's what it's about. You know, the recipe for that is day in, day out belief in what's going on. It is an individualized approach with those guys so that they know you're trying to help them individually within a very tight-knit team concept. This game starts and ends on the mound. It's the same way with the game you guys are going to do tonight. You know, starting pitching is obviously very important. Navigating the bullpen and having guys that can get critical outs late in the game is also vital. If you can pitch, you always have a chance. Defense feeds off the pitching, and the pitching feeds off of how good you are defensively. I think looking at our team last year at Notre Dame, that wasn't a great combination. Defensively, it didn't look like they were quite as sound as I'm sure they wanted to be. We've got to solidify some of those things. We've got to solidify our catching situation. And then offensively, I guess one of the trademarks of my teams has been we've found some ways at times with creativity to score. And you're not going to outscore bad pitching and bad defense. But if you can pitch and play defense, you're going to be in every game. If you're creative offensively and find ways to score, that's how you win. That's how you win in college. And I guess that would be my roadmap and how we get there. I don't just have the answer. I haven't seen our team, but that's really a good blueprint.
Link Jarrett, Notre Dame baseball coach, joining us for the first time on WSBT Radio. Link, we just saw a northern school in the Michigan Wolverines barely get into the NCAA tournament. They get hot at the right time. They go all the way to the championship game. They had Vanderbilt down 1-0 before the Commodores came back and won the national championship. We even know at Notre Dame we can be number one in the country. We've been to the College World Series. Paul Mainieri was here. So I think you're right. Anything is possible. The ceiling is there for the Irish. In terms of recruiting to a northern school and a school like Notre Dame, what are the positives you have to work with, and are there some things you have to overcome in the recruiting process?
Well, I think when you say recruiting to a northern school and a school like Notre Dame, there's your distinction. You know, in my short time here, a couple days, you realize how many people value what this stands for. So you have a chance to recruit probably with better success than a lot of other northern schools. You have to show that you have indoor facilities with resources to develop players in the winter months, and we have that. You know, it was cold in North Carolina. We did not have the same indoor resources. So if you get caught in between, it's almost harder than when you're prepared for it. It is tricky when you can't walk out on your field, you know, in mid-January every day like the University of Florida does. But using that as a way to create a little toughness in the players, in the team, they have to deal with adversity. They're going to deal with adversity weather-wise. They're going to deal with adversity crowd-wise. You're going to deal with adversity ups and downs of innings and wins and losses. So using some of the disadvantages of the cold to create toughness is how you have to look at it. And I know recruiting can be tricky to a northern team, but you know what? It's Notre Dame. There's a long line of guys that would give anything to come here and play. We have to be on them early and convince them that this is a place with a program that's going to grow. And then you develop them and show them that you have indoor capabilities to continue to develop, even if you have days outside when it's cold. All you can do. Michigan did it. You know, Stony Brook advanced a long way. You know, you've had northern teams. St. John's, year in, year out, does a really nice job. There's teams out of the Midwest that have had a lot of success that have bad January and February weather. So I know it's tricky, but I don't think it's beyond reality to think that you can still have success.
Link, you obviously played for Mike Martin at Florida State, a Hall of Fame coach. Is there anything that maybe he said or did in that time when you were playing there for him that's kind of stuck with you, carried over through your coaching career?
You know, he was big on trust. He wanted people out there that he trusted. Now, I wasn't the most talented shortstop, but he trusted that I understood where to go. He trusted that routine plays were going to be made. He trusted that the guy in the game in the eighth inning on the mound was the guy he wanted out there. And sometimes they weren't the most talented people, but he trusted your work and your understanding of his system. And he trusted that you could do what he needed you to do at those points in the game. And I learned that early on, and that's probably why I played, and it stuck out, and it still stands out to this day. Those guys that buy into your system and have really shown that they earned his trust, you're going to flourish. And I think that's a good recipe for coaching young guys like this. Like, once you put trust in them and feel that they're the right guy out there, they may not be the most talented, but they know your system and they can execute that was huge for him.
Link, when you think about the 2020 campaign and workouts getting underway in January, what are a couple of the most important things that you feel like you need to accomplish between now and then to prepare your team for the start of next season?
Team defensive concepts, you know, how you're going to run your bunt defense, your first and third, your picks and rundowns, fly ball communication, cuts and relays, signs with a runner at second, your offensive system, your offensive approach. Those things need to go in from day one. So when you get to that opening game, it is just, they know it like the back of their hand. And as you implement these systems, you get to know more about the players. They gain valuable repetitions in not only the signs and the system, but just touches and defensive reps, offensive reps, you know, your short game, your bunting packages, your situational hitting concepts and ideas, your hit and run thoughts and your base running steel jumps. And you have to get into that in really, that'll probably start in late August, early September. If you're still searching for those identities in January and February, it's too late. And I want to hit the ground running with that. I'm not saying we're going to be a finished product, but those things need to be finished. And then as you get into the season, you learn a little bit more about your personnel and their capabilities, and you try to build and go. So that opening game, man, I'm ready for the opening practice and the first meeting, because you just can't waste time, and that's one thing you'll never get back. So you better make the most of it.
Link, Duke and Wake Forest are the other two private schools in the ACC. Duke's had a lot of success, a couple of super regionals the last couple of years. And obviously when you're talking about 11.7 scholarships and being a private school, that changes things. And you just had a private school, Vandy, win the national championships. And I realize their finances are a little bit different there. But when you look at maybe what some of these other private schools have done, is there anything, any kind of model there, any kind of blueprint maybe that you can try to follow?
I mean, yeah, you have to work within, you know, what your financial aid office allows, and your admissions with great elite students. Are they able to package some academic aid because of their capabilities? Are some kids with financial need able to utilize that through the school? I mean, that's what those other schools have done, and it's available to every student, so therefore it's 100% fine. Depth at these schools, I guess we've thought a lot about, you know, the roster size, knowing that it's expensive and you're trying to package things together to make it attractive for top-end players. So how many people you carry and how far you stretch 11.7, those are things that from a roster development standpoint, I have to really, really look at. You know, you have to find your niche. Is our niche not to have the biggest roster in the country, but maybe not so much, and spread your money a little further, and hopefully get some upper tier people that continue to develop, and maybe it raises the bar of what you're able to do talent wise. So I have to dig in a little deeper to see exactly how that plays out here for us with our resources, but and that's part of the gig, and I have to figure it out. Like that's part of my job is to be creative and find ways to move along.
Link Jarrett is our guest, Notre Dame baseball coach. My final question for you, Coach, whether it's as a player or a coach, what is your all-time favorite baseball memory?
Wow. I think there's two that stand out. I guess the first would probably be my freshman year playing shortstop, knowing that last out is going to get us to Omaha. And when that ball is hit and you know that ball is going to be caught, it was a ground ball to second base. I didn't field it, but to know that is sending you to the World Series was really special. There's two others. I know you said two. I got two.
You can go as far as you want.
I don't know how to separate these, but we were in Oxford, Mississippi, and we had to win one game to win the SEC West. And it was Friday night, and they had left-hander on the mound pitching in the big leagues right now. I cannot remember his name. So good. We had to beat him, and I gave my pregame talk to the position guys. You know, I coach third base, and guys, hey, you got to be on point. Dirt ball read, going first to third, you know, reading a throw from the outfield, a hit and run. One of those things is going to win this game, and you don't know when it's coming. And one of my outfielders said, hey, coach, here's what you need to do. You need to go stand in third base, and this is going to be an absolute laser show. Don't worry about it. And I believe we won the game 18-2, and that won the SEC wow. West, which is really, really, really hard to do. I think Auburn had been to the World Series twice and had won the SEC West once. Wow. Tough. We were down about 7-0 to South Carolina in an elimination game in our regional at East Carolina. One of our guys that was probably the biggest surprise in my coaching career, he tied the game with a 3-run homer in the 9th inning and won the game with a walk-off base hit in the 11th. And, you know, those two moments just stand out. They're tied for first. Never forget them. Unbelievable stuff.
Wow.
A lot of great stuff there. I'll finish with this real quick, and you may not be able to mention any names, but is your staff coming together? Do you have an idea of who it's going to be right now?
Yeah, Chuck Restano will stay on board as our pitching coach. We will continue to interview and move along for our recruiting coordinator position, and I have phone interviewed a bunch and am now moving into bringing some guys to campus. So that's where we are with that right now. That's about as far as I can go with it. But, you know, I like Chuck. I've known Chuck. I've had common threads with people that have worked with him. And he's a Notre Dame guy. Wife, obviously, on the softball staff, knows the ins and outs, knows the roster, knows the arms. And I'm very happy that he's on board with us.
You're going to have New York on one side and Southern on the other. That's going to be an interesting dugout.
Good. Love it. Good mix.
That's right.
There you go. Link, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on becoming the 21st head baseball coach in Notre Dame history. We look forward to talking baseball with you again very, very soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Link Jarrett, new Notre Dame baseball coach, joining us on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.